This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to Medicine and Health with Dr. Paul Anderson. This is a show about opening up the often mysterious world of how doctors think. The goal? To empower the listener to gain access to the best health care possible.
Welcome today to Medicine Health with Dr. Paul Anderson. Our topic today is one that is very scary and full of emotions, and that topic is cancer. But what we want to talk about really is not only how it affects how we feel and how it affects our families and our health when we have it in with our loved ones, but also what's happening right now in the world of cancer treatment and the broader world of integrative oncology, which we'll be talking about. And how can that be of help when we have this unfortunate diagnosis enter our lives? So as a way of beginning, if you have looked into this at all, or unfortunately if you've had family members or yourself even have a cancer diagnosis, one of the things that we've seen in the last about 50 to 70 years is the frequency of diagnosis of cancer is increasing all of the time. And based on some reports now, the likelihood of a human having cancer during their lifetime is now somewhere between 1 in 2 people and 1 in 3 people. So that's a very, very, very common diagnosis. It's very likely to happen. And there's probably a great deal of reasons for that. Now, if we go back to, say, 70 or 80 years ago, the frequency of diagnosis of cancer was about 1 in 30 people. And so you think, well, that's certainly a large increase over those, 70 to 80 years, 1 in 30 to 1 in 3, that's a tenfold increase. There's a number of reasons for that. One is people live longer now, and because we can keep people alive with other diseases longer than they would have lived 80 years ago, you can live longer and get new diseases, so it's a statistical thing. It's a little easier to diagnose cancer nowadays, so there's a little bit more of that. But one of the things that we are certainly concerned about in modern times is we also have a lot more reasons for cancer to be stimulated. And so today when we talk, one of the things that we're going to want to talk about is the issue of, what can we do to watch out for as far as cancer prevention, and then once it happens, what ways can we think of to help to deal with it? Because obviously, if we have all of this new cancer now, better diagnosis only explains a little tiny bit of it. People living longer explains a little bit of it, but there has to be something else behind that. So we want to talk about that a little bit too. But I thought we'd start out today speaking of the overall effects and how this hits us mentally and emotionally, because if you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer, it is an impact on the entire of your being. It's an impact on your entire life. And so the first thing that we see, and in our clinic, Anderson Medical Specialty Associates in Seattle, Washington, we have two large groups of patients that we see. One are people with chronic illnesses that are not cancer, things like autoimmunity and toxicity and hormone problems, etc. The other group, which is about half of the practice, are people who are dealing with cancer. So we see a lot of patients with cancer every single day. So the thing that we see very commonly is the normal process that people go through when they're confronted with a new and unpleasant fact in their life. So if you're diagnosed with cancer, some of the things that can happen are an immediate panic. And that's because, what we think of cancer and what we know of cancer, none of it's very good. People will go into denial sometimes. They'll do denial and bargaining and all that sort of thing. Sometimes people get angry or agitated about it. And then sometimes people get obviously very, very depressed because it's, again, nothing anybody wants to hear. The next thing that we see is that patients sometimes will actually know before their diagnosis something is very wrong because they know their body. And they know that their body is not functioning the way that it usually does or it has their whole life, and this starts to frighten them. And it either frightens them into being, you know, making the worst possible scenario or going to their doctor and saying, I am not feeling the way I felt my whole life. Can you please check me out? And I've literally had patients who came in and they were that in tune with their body and they said, I've been generally healthy, but I've had a few big health challenges in my life. And I know when my body starts acting this way, it's not working correctly. And so can we check this out? And indeed, it turned out that, you know, they had a particular type of cancer that was behind it. That's sort of a minority of people. Most people, things sort of go on and on for a while and we ignore them and then, you know, we get a diagnosis. So for the patient, you know, you're involved in your body. And so there's, at least on an unconscious level, a little bit of forewarning. On a conscious level, you may or may not know anything. And then you go into how do you deal with it emotionally. So there's that whole range. And really for your loved ones, it's the same thing. It's shocking to them. It's unpleasant to them because nobody wants to have cancer or have their loved one have cancer. And they go through the same thing. They can get agitated. They can get anxious. They can go into denial. They can go into bargaining. They can go into all of those stages that we go through with big changes in life. So this, I think, can be illustrated by a message, an email message that we got knowing that we were doing this topic this week. And it comes actually from a patient of ours that says, Dr. Anderson, my wife was just diagnosed with breast cancer, and she's been healthy her whole life. We've been married for a long time, and I am unsure what to do. I'm very scared. I don't know what to do next in the process, and I want to be the best support for my spouse. This is very, very common. Of course, usually partners and spouses want to be as supportive as possible, but if you've never dealt with cancer before, you have no idea of what to do or where to go next with that. So the first thing that is important is to ground yourself and think of number one, things are often not as bad as we imagine them to be, although with cancer sometimes they are. Number two, we need to work as a team, and if this is a partner or a spouse, that's, you know, you're very, very close. If it's a family member, you're very, very close. If it's someone who's just your best support person in the world, your best friend or something, you know, you're close. So the first thing is to sit down and say, we understand that we can't know everything about this problem. We know that there's people in the world who do know a lot more about it than we do. And so what we need to take care of right now is how we are going to proceed and how we are going to handle this problem that's in front of us. And from my experience, both with friends and family who have had cancer, but also being a physician who's treated patients with cancer for two decades now plus, the most important thing is communication and the way that we communicate. So when we're dealing with these horrible circumstances, we have to know that, you know, we are living in the circumstances. We are not the circumstances. And we have to agree with our partner, spouse, loved ones, support people that we're going to be honest, but we're also going to communicate as best possible. So rather than avoiding things, being able to communicate is very important. Now, in the case of this particular patient who wrote in and we had some conversation around it, the other thing that normally we find to be very, very useful is when we have something like this, it's a major diagnosis, very disrupting and scary to everybody. The next thing we have to think about is how do we normally deal with unpleasant situations with our support people? And we all know that there are some people we can talk to about unpleasant things more easily than others. So the first advice that I give people is if your partner or your spouse or your support person is that person that you can discuss unpleasant things with and you can communicate effectively about them, do what you normally do with that. If you have a great deal of difficulty in discussing unpleasant things with your support person because your communication styles are different or any number of things, discussing the unpleasant parts of cancer is not going to be easy for you. And that doesn't mean you don't discuss it, but the next step, and I would recommend this to anyone anyway, is you need somebody that you can bring onto your team who's going to help you with the cancer, who you can go through these things and speak with. And fortunately, in the world, there are counselors and psychologists who specifically deal with chronic illness issues. And you can meet with them. You can come up with strategies. You can, you know, discuss the things that you may or may not even want to discuss with your loved ones with them. And they can be one of the most helpful parts of your care team. And even though this doesn't have as much maybe on the surface to deal diagnosing and treating cancer, what I have seen over time is the people who have the best support and the most community interface that is appropriate and helpful do the best with their cancer. So we can't ignore the emotional effect of a diagnosis of cancer, and we also really cannot ignore the effect of dealing with the emotional aspects of a cancer diagnosis, because your immune system is actually affected by your emotions. It's affected by changes in your stress hormone levels and all manner of other things. And so there are biological reasons you will do better if you have support people and mental emotional help in your life when you're dealing with these type of diagnoses. So just as a by way of our first go around with talking about cancer, that is extremely, extremely important, the mental emotional status. So in the case of this person who wrote me the note, what we did is we got them to talk about what was going on. We got them to get that out there. We got them in contact with a really good counselor who deals with chronic illness and cancer. And they're working through that. And so the mental emotional side is at least on the radar and being discussed. And that is very, very, very important. So I didn't want to let the discussion of cancer go without having a discussion about that very, very critical part of it, because our emotions affect our immune system and our immune system affects our way that we deal with cancer. The next thing, and we talked about this in a prior show, so I'll kind of summarize this a bit, but cancer treatment, so what is it? Is it one thing? Does it have side effects? Is it, you know, can we do anything about any of that? That's sort of a big deal. And one of the things that you'll see is even a person, we see this all the time, even a person who had cancer and cancer treatment 10 years ago, and now they may have a recurrence or a second cancer, their treatment may be very, very different than it was a number of years ago, because cancer treatment is evolving all of the time, and that's good. Because as you know, cancer treatment is not always successful, and it's very difficult. And so we want to keep evolving the treatment and keep making it more inclusive, so that it's not only, you know, better for the patient, but also that it's better as far as outcomes go. And that's very difficult right now with outcomes. So treatment, so the standard of care, we're going to talk about two different kind of things today. Standard of care, which is in North America, if you're seeing an oncologist who's a specialty in cancer, they follow a standard of care, standard of practice. It says if you have this particular cancer, these are the first things we do with you. And then if you have this other kind of cancer, we do these other things with you. And the reason for that is that cancer therapy is very arduous on the body. It can be very disruptive to the body, and we want to make sure we're giving exactly the right treatment. Okay. The next thing is the standard of care is very broad. So you may have one kind of cancer, and your cousin might have a totally different kind of cancer, and your treatment and your outcome may be completely different. Not even crossover at all. So the specialty of oncology is very broad and deep in that respect, and we need to, that's why we have specialists who deal with that, because it's very, very different. The other thing we see with patients is we have, someone may have their mother or their cousin go through cancer treatment 20, 30, 40 years ago, and they believe they may be going through the same kind of treatment. In many cases, that's not at all the case for them, because treatments change literally daily sometimes. So that's very, very important that we know that. And that's why when you first get the diagnosis, in addition to getting mental, emotional help and support in your life, you need to ask questions and go through this with your oncologist, because the standard may have changed from even a year ago. And they're the only people who are going to know what the best standard for you is. The next thing that you want to do is ask them about treatment effects and side effects, and also efficacy. Does the stuff work or not? Okay. So something to consider there is, and we've mentioned this before on other shows, you want to always go to your meeting with your oncologist with a support person who can take notes and who can hear the conversation from their own point of view. And that is so very critical. It's critical really with any chronic illness, but cancer, it's especially, especially critical. So the thing that we're thinking there is then your support person can write notes, they can ask qualifying or clarifying questions, and then together you can get a better picture of what went on, because it can be an awful lot to listen to. So the things you want to ask about are effects of treatment, side effects of treatment, and then efficacy. And so effects of treatment would be, how is this going to work on killing my cancer? So that's the effect. And sometimes it's direct. It's these drugs we're going to give you are anti-metabolic, or they're anti-cancer, and they go to cancer cells and they make them die, or they make them do something else. That's really good to know. You want to know what kind of treatment you're getting. Or they might say this is a new drug that is a biological medication, which is going to go and it's going to make your immune system fight the cancer instead of the drug fighting. It's very, very different. Okay, so very important to know that. Side effects. This is about your quality of life. We want to know, okay, if I'm going to use this drug and it's going to go and it's going to be killing cancer, and all this is going on, how is this going to affect how my body works? This is really crucial. So when you're done with a discussion about, okay, this is one of those cancer treatments the doctor says that goes and directly kills the cancer cell, or it's one that uses your immune system to kill the cancer cell. Next question is, what are the common side effects? Now, everybody can have any old side effect to any drug in the world, so you can't really get a list of every side effect. But your oncologist will be very well aware, because they prescribe these things thousands of times probably, what the top 3, 5, or 10 side effects are. And all cancer drugs have some side effect or another. Some have more than others. So, for instance, they may tell you something like, well, you know, 90% of people will lose their hair, or, 75% of people will have a lot of digestive system problems, nausea, vomiting, cramping, malabsorption, that sort of thing. Or they may tell you many people, in addition to hair loss, will get nerve problems from this treatment. You know, so if you think about it, it would be the same as, you know, let's say there was a bug in your yard that you're trying to kill, and the bug is on your grass, which you don't want to kill. And let's say the only thing that you know will kill that bug also will have damage to your grass. So you go out and you spray the bug with the bug killer, and then 2 days later your grass is all brown in that area, you know. Or you go out and you try and kill a weed and it kills the grass. It's exactly the same with a lot of cancer treatments. You can't put the cancer treatment in and expect it to kill a cancer cell without doing something to the normal cells in many cases, not every case, but in many cases. So that's where the side effects come from. And in most cases, the equation is, we know you're going to have side effects. We'll do everything we can to make them less of an issue, but side effects are better than just letting the cancer grow. So that's why they will choose a high side effect drug, especially with aggressive cancer. So that's why it happens. It's not, you know, that they want you to have the side effects. No doctor wants you to have any side effects. But in the calculation of, is this better for you than just letting the cancer go, that's how it is looked at. Then the final thing, and this is something a lot of folks will sometimes forget to ask, is what's the efficacy of this? So if I do this treatment and I go through all these side effects, what's the likelihood I will survive the cancer? And a lot of people, from what I find, will hear that and then sort of move on and not really think about the efficacy. But just think of it this way. If you have a 80 to 90% chance of the cancer going into remission or stopping growing with any treatment, that is a treatment that is very worth considering doing, because you have a very high likelihood statistically of it putting your cancer into remission or stopping the growth of the cancer. Okay, that's very different than what some cancers have, which is there is a 5% or less chance of you having any effect on your cancer. And most of the time nowadays, what we see anyway, the oncologists we work with, they're very clear about this. They want you to know. And we've had many oncologists tell patients, you know, I can give you this treatment, but with your kind of cancer and this kind of treatment, it's got less than a 5% chance of working. Well, this sort of plays on, our fears of, well, if I don't do anything, that, you know, does that have a 0% chance of working? And so patients will often try the 5%, the low yield treatment. They'll get all the side effects, they'll get none of the benefit, and then they just feel really horrible. They've got all this quality of life issue. So this thing about efficacy, you need to know, not only is cancer not treated in one way, but efficacy of treatment is very broad. And if I personally am looking at a treatment, if it's got a 90% success rate, I'm going to buy into that and side effects and everything else a lot easier than a treatment that's got a 5% outcome potential, because do I want all those side effects for a roll of the dice of 5%? Maybe I do, maybe I don't. It's a big question. There's not one right answer. So you need to be asking about that. You need to ask about effects, which is basically, you know, how is this supposed to work with my cancer? And that's many, many ways. Side effects. And then the big one is efficacy. How often does this actually work? Which is a whole other question. Now, a lot of this leads to what we do, which is in our clinic, we practice integrative oncology, which means we don't do the primary treatments that the oncologist would be wanting to use, which is important because that's their job. They're specialists in that sort of thing. But what we do is integrative treatments that help the oncology treatment or help what you're doing with your cancer work better. So this is a good example. This is a patient wrote to us knowing, again, that this was coming up, and she says, Dear Dr. Anderson, I have breast cancer, and I've recently finished my therapy for the breast cancer, and that included surgery and then chemotherapy with a small amount of radiation therapy. So a triple therapy was done. I've healed from my surgery. My radiation therapy was largely uneventful. I had a little bit of skin burning. But my problem I'm writing to you about is the chemotherapy made my fingers and toes feel numb and burn at the same time, and my joints hurt. What can you do about that? Now, here's an important thing. When you're doing these treatments that kill the cancer or try and kill the cancer, it's sort of like our example of a weed or a bug in your yard. You're going to have the bug die, but maybe some grass is going to die too. In the case of a lot of cancer treatments, instead of the grass dying, what happens is the nerves get involved or inflamed or they get damaged a little bit. The reason this person probably has joint pain, and they list the drugs that they were given, and I won't need to go into all of that specifics, but basically with the drugs that they were given, it's very common to have an arthritis-like situation from the drug, and that's because the lining of the joints is very sensitive and it gets affected by the cancer drug. We see this all the time in our patients. So there are two approaches in integrative oncology. One is if you know that you're going to have the treatment and you work with an integrative oncology specialist, they can do things before and during your cancer treatment to help slow down some of these bad side effects. If it's after, like in this patient's case, you can still work on these things, but the longer after treatment for cancer, it's a little slower. So the example would be, let's say we have that bug in our backyard and we have a beautiful grass underneath and we want to kill the bug, but we don't want to kill the grass. And let's say the only thing we can do is to use that bug spray that we know is going to kill the grass. If we somehow make a little mold or a little template out of a piece of paper with a hole that's the size of the bug, and put it over the bug and then spray the bug, the little piece of paper or the template is going to soak up all of the dangerous bug spray, and we'll have less grass die. Maybe we'll have a little bit die, but we'll have less grass die. That's really the goal of integrative oncology during cancer treatment. We want the bug spray to work. In this case, we want the cancer treatment to work, but we want to limit it from going into as much normal tissue and causing damage as possible. And this, of course, is a very large area of investigation and clinical practice, so we can't really go over every piece of that right now. But one of the things that I've been involved in clinically for these couple of decades and then in clinical research in the last 6 or 7 years has been, what is the best way to do these treatments in integrative oncology so we literally leave the cancer treatment alone and don't change its efficacy, but that we improve the normal tissue health? So can we shield the normal cells or at least make them so they don't get so damaged without bothering the chemotherapy or the radiation, etc.? And that is a huge, huge area that goes into many, many things. And throughout the year, we're going to talk about them every few weeks. So we got a lot to talk about there. But the evolution of this topic is that 10 years ago, and especially 20 years ago when I was doing this, the oncologists would say, do not do any integrative treatments because we don't know if they will not allow my chemotherapy or radiation to work. We don't know the answer to that question. And to a degree, that's very, very true. We didn't really know the answer to the question. We knew clinically we saw people do okay, but, you know, there's different sort of question you're asking there. In the last 7 years or so, as we've been involved in more research around this, I can communicate with the oncologist and say, we actually have followed this many patients with this treatment in integrative oncology. And what we find is not only does the science show that the treatment in integrative oncology doesn't hurt chemotherapy, but what we see clinically is the patient does better with the chemotherapy. And there's some integrative treatments that actually make chemotherapy work better. Okay. So whereas in the past there was just sort of a blanket statement of don't do anything with these, you know, integrative oncology people because we don't know they're going to hurt your chemo. Now there, you can at least have a discussion. Now, does that mean every oncologist is on board with the idea? No, absolutely not. Not at all. But when I go and I present or speak at oncology conferences, I know that the reception for integrative oncology is getting broader and broader all the time. So whereas in the past, patients were just told, don't go see him or don't go see that kind of doctor, now there at least can be a discussion in some cases. Now, here's the important thing with all that. There's two criteria that are the very most important. Number one, you need to make sure you have a good physician who's trained in this. This is not something that every doctor knows how to do. Number two, you need to know, you know, that you trust that person. And number three, then, you need to get the best information from the integrative oncology person because they're going to be the only specialist who knows how the integrative treatment works. So remember a minute ago what we said was in our clinic we do integrative oncology. We don't tell the oncologist what chemotherapy to use because that's their specialty. When it comes to the integrative treatments, our level of training and research and knowledge covers the integrative treatments. And so the oncologist now, in the way that we work it out, we leave the chemotherapy radiation to them, and we give you advice about the integrative treatments, and our job is to make sure that they work with and not against what you're doing. So it's very important. So in cases like this, lady unfortunately had the breast cancer treatment and now has the numbness and burning in the fingers, the neuropathy and a little bit of joint pain. There are treatments that can be done, especially after your chemotherapy is over, that can be aimed at restoring function and decreasing that inflammation. That can take weeks to do, and that can take months to do in some cases, depending on how long ago the treatment was and how bad the treatment or the symptoms are. The other thing that comes out of this discussion of integrative oncology is treating cancer as a chronic illness. And this sounds really bizarre to people, and it does sort of on the face of it is a bit bizarre as a concept. But cancer as a chronic illness basically means, let's say you didn't have cancer, but let's say you had some other chronic illness, like you had rheumatoid arthritis, your joints are inflamed because your immune system is all out of balance. Rheumatoid arthritis rarely kills anybody, but it does change your quality of life. But you have to live with rheumatoid arthritis your whole life. So your goals of treatment are to have the best quality of life possible with rheumatoid arthritis. Now, with cancer, you can look at some cancers the same way. The cancer may or may not shorten your lifespan. Some shorten lifespans more than others. But your goal is to live as long as you possibly can with the cancer with the best quality of life. Now, certainly, if you can kill the cancer and the cancer will go away into remission, that's great. And sometimes that happens. And some, as I said, some efficacies of cancer treatment can do that. But a lot of them don't. So then there's the next idea, which is, well, is there anything in the middle? Do I just have to say, well, I have cancer, so now I'm going to have a horrible quality of life and I'm going to die sooner? You don't have to say that. There's no way to know how a person will respond. But our goal and many patients' goal is, okay, the cancer is the cancer. I'm working on treating it, or I have treated it, or I've done whatever. What else can I do so that I have the best quality of life for every day I'm alive? And that honestly is the very most important thing when we talk to people, and I've talked to thousands of patients with cancer, that's number one for them. What is the best thing that will help my quality of life and help me live every single day I have? And then if I get a benefit out of it, like I live longer, that's even more wonderful. So that's what treating cancer as a chronic illness is. It's not always a death sentence. The age you get it at, the type of treatment you can have, all sorts of things feed into that. But what you want is beyond your primary treatment, say with the oncologist, what can you do with somebody who works in integrative oncology that can help you live the best and most efficient quality of life possible? We're going to take a brief break right now, and when we come back, we're going to talk a lot more about this idea of integrative oncology.
Anderson Medical Specialty Associates is the clinic that Dr. Anderson founded to provide high-quality, integrative medical care to those with cancer and chronic illnesses. In over 20 years of work with this patient population and research into the best practices for treatment, this clinic provides the highest level of care. Their focuses include all types of cancer, autoimmune diseases such as multiple sclerosis and lupus, as well as chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, and chronic infections such as Lyme and Lyme-like illness. Their only goal is to help each person find the best path to health for their individual needs. Located in Seattle, Washington, visit the clinic website, www.amsa1.com, or call the clinic at 206-629-2186.
And we're back with Medicine and Health with Dr. Paul Anderson. Today our topic is a very scary one for many people, cancer and cancer treatment. What we've been talking about is there's things involved in cancer therapy. There are things involved in what we call oncologic therapy, that is the anti-cancer treatments, and your specialist there is the oncologist. That's medical doctors specialized in oncology. And then we have questions that we want to ask about our treatment. We want to involve support people. We want to have a good support network. We want to have a good oncologist. We want to have a lot of communication. We want to ask about the effects of treatment. How does the treatment work? We want to ask about side effects. And then the efficacy. How often does this help me with cancer? How will it make me live longer or not? Then we talked about the issues around integrative oncology and treating cancer as a chronic illness. So, okay, we're going to do what we can from the oncology medical point of view as far as treating your cancer. But then there's the whole rest of your quality of life, length of life. And the thing that most people are interested in is every single day I'm alive, I want to have the best life I possibly can. And, you know, people with and without cancer, that's one of their main motivators. So when we think about that, that's largely where integrative oncology, which is what we do in our clinic, and there's a growing number of physicians that do that, comes in. And I mentioned before the break that we have a very great difference in the reception to integrative oncology from 20 years ago when I started in it till now. Excuse me. And that is that integrative oncology is getting slow but increasing incremental recognition in standard oncology. And as I said before the break, now we can actually have conversations with the oncologists about if you're going to do these cancer treatments, say chemotherapy or radiation or something, we have research and we have background that would show that our integrative treatment will not harm your treatment but actually make it work better and make the patient's quality of life better. So most of the time, of course, that's up to the patient to decide about their quality of life and interventions, and their oncologist may be more or less interested in those sort of treatments, but nonetheless, they are available. So that brings us to this idea of how would this play out. Let's take a best case scenario as cancer is a chronic illness and doing integrative oncology. Well, we've had cases like this occur over time, and a patient wrote in a letter about their experience with integrative oncology, and I'll just summarize it briefly. And so this was their experience, and they said, Dr. Anderson, I came to getting care with you and your colleagues through the university research that you were doing in integrative oncology. And a little over 6 years ago, I was given your research project as a resource because at the time I was diagnosed with cancer. I was 85 years old, and my physician said that my body could not handle the standard treatment. And they said there was nothing they could do in standard oncology for me because of my age and because the treatment may in fact kill me. And so they sent me to your research project and said maybe they can do something for your quality of life. The patient goes on to say that they entered the research project, they were working with us with particular treatments, and now they just turned 90 years old, so 5 years later basically, and they're still alive. And they wanted me to talk about their experience. Now, this is one of those cases where it's very common the older a patient gets, the less the oncologist is going to want to do very, you know, heavy-duty, dangerous treatments, because they know that the chance of the patient having harm or damage is higher. The older we get, the less we deal with these medications and treatments. This particular patient was told that she wouldn't live to her next birthday. So she was told, you won't make it to 86 years old, but maybe these people in this research project can do something for you. So, and we didn't, you know, we don't know when someone comes in how they're going to respond to treatment. No one knows how someone's going to respond to treatment. But we said, well, because you're not a candidate for standard therapy, there's other things we could do that we know from experience with people with cancer that can make the quality of life at least better. And she said, that's fine. That's, you know, I don't have any other options, so quality of life is wonderful. And so we began, and we had her in one part of our research project, which involves some intravenous therapies that work with getting the immune system back online and, you know, working on helping to balance things out with the immune system, which is helpful in the arena of cancer. And as I said, you know, you never know with people how they're going to do. But as she got treatment, we were speaking with her, of course. You know, she would come in every week and we would speak with her and see how she was doing. And about 6 weeks in to her therapy, she started to say, you know, maybe this is just coincidence, but since my cancer was diagnosed, and actually before the cancer was diagnosed, she didn't know what she had wrong. So about, you know, a month before, and then she had surgery, diagnosed the cancer. So ever since, I've had specific digestive and abdominal complaints. So she had these symptoms that were because she had cancer in her abdomen. And she said, the last couple of weeks, they've been getting less frequent. And I'm feeling better. I, you know, I can eat more easily and all this. And we said, well, that's wonderful. We put that information into her profile. And we said, you keep track of that and see. And so 2 weeks later, I said, how is this going? Is, you know, are you still feeling better? She said, yeah, I have almost none of those symptoms. And I said, well, how are you feeling generally? And she said, well, you know, I'm able to do things that I wasn't able to do 2 months ago. I'm getting out in my garden, and keep in mind, she's 85 years old. So, you know, she had her own house and she lives alone. She's doing things. I said, well, keep track of that. So another month goes by and we check in, and she says, you know, it's been almost 2 months. I've had no digestive or abdominal pain at all. I can eat whatever I want. It doesn't hurt me. My energy is great. And so, because the part of the research she was doing or she was involved in, we said, well, do you want to stop your treatment and just see, you know, if this lasts or if the treatment, you know, is helping or what do you want to do? And she said, yeah, let's just stop for a little bit and see how it is. So we set up a time to come see her, and we stopped all treatment. And 3 weeks later, she comes in for her follow-up, and she says, all of my pain is back. I can barely eat anything. I feel really horrible. And the only change we've made is we stopped this other treatment. We said, okay, that's not what we wanted, so let's see if we put you back on some treatment. So then we put her back on the same treatment protocol, and within 3 weeks, her abdominal pain was all gone. She's eating everything she wants, and she's energetic. So then we worked forward, and we got her onto a less frequent maintenance protocol. And that worked just fine. She came in about once a month, and we would work with her and check in. And now, 5 years later, we just celebrated her 90th birthday. Actually, in the clinic, she's a friend of most of the patients now. And it's just amazing that this person who has said, you won't make it to be 86 years old, is still alive at 90. She actually has more energy than she did 5 years ago. So does this happen with everyone? No, certainly not. Not everyone responds positively to any treatment. But my point of telling the story is, number one, it's a true story. She wrote in and wanted me to bring it up. But also is you don't know. And the thing is that these are fairly straightforward integrative oncology treatments that matched what she needed for her care and have helped her to have 5 years of very high quality of life that she was not expecting to have. So that is sort of the big picture of the most positive outcome and effect in an integrative oncology setting, but it's a really important one. Now, you can say, well, do you have people who don't respond to your approach? Well, certainly, yes, just like any other approach. There are people who don't respond. But most of the time, what we notice is if we start with the goal of good quality of life and helping the other therapies work well or helping the symptoms be minimized, we can usually achieve those goals. It's how long can we achieve them that's the most important. And with these integrative therapies, they're just like in regular oncology. There's many, many different kind of oncology drugs. There are many, many kinds of integrative oncology therapies. And that's why I say your best approach is to work with someone who's specifically trained in this area. Questions come up around, is there still research going on with these things? Yes, there's still research that we're involved with. We're looking at outcomes. We're looking at, does the approach of integrative oncology work? We look at the idea of whole practice medicine, and what that means is there's not one integrative thing that works for cancer. There's a lot of things. And so when we put them together, do you live longer? Do you feel better? All of that sort of thing. So those are the things that are going on right now and we're involved with. We're very excited to be involved with those things because part of the future for oncology, we believe, is a merging of both sides of oncology so that you get the best of all worlds as you go through. Now, in some cases, someone will come in and they'll be at the end of life, and they're clear on that, and they know, and they've had a very aggressive cancer and lots of treatment, and their goal will just be, you know, I don't know if I'm going to live a week or a month or 6 months, but I want to be with my family, I want to be present, and I want to feel as good as I possibly can. We have integrative oncology therapies that work with people at that end. And they, you know, we've seen people where their, you know, certainly didn't extend their life, but they were able to feel better and interact with their loved ones in a way that was much, much more pleasant and efficient and healthy than they were before, when they had, you know, a lot of the side effects of treatment and they were feeling just so badly. So integrative oncology really can cover a lot of ground. There are many avenues to finding people trained in integrative oncology. If you're in Seattle, you can contact integrative oncology specialists through our clinic, the Anderson Medical Specialty Associates. We have a large group of our physicians dedicated just to that. And that's www.amsa1.com. 206-629-2186 is our phone number. If you're in another city, there is a group of specially trained and certified oncology integrative doctors, the ONC, A-N-P, and that's O like Ocean, N like Nancy, C like Charlie, A like Apple, N like Nancy, and P like Pear. So ONC, A-N-P, and it's the Oncology Association of Naturopathic Physicians. And this is a group that is involved in gathering research and training doctors and improving standards of care and all of these things over time. And you can, if you're in a place other than the state of Washington, you can access the ONC A-N-P website. And if you do a Google search for either ONCANP or Oncology Association of Naturopathic Physicians, they have a website, and they have a find a doctor setting. The other thing that you can see sometimes is functional medicine trained doctors in your town. Integrative functional medicine may have a specialty in integrative oncology, and you can contact them about that. So there's lots of ways to find this sort of help. Our important big point topics today are: we can deal with the diagnosis of cancer. We need to start from ourselves and our family and our support. We need to involve the best advice we can, and that includes counselors, that includes support people, that includes your oncology professionals, the oncologist who specializes in the medical, surgical, and radiation treatment of cancer, the integrative oncology specialists who specialize in integrating the best of the rest of medicine, and put it all together so that you have the very best treatment and the best outcome possible for your body and your cancer. I'm Dr. Paul Anderson. This is Medicine and Health with Dr. Paul Anderson. And today we've been talking about cancer and keeping it as a chronic illness. Have a very good day, and we'll see you on the radio in 1 week.
You've been listening to Medicine and Health with your host, Dr. Paul Anderson. Visit the clinic website at www.amsa1.com or call the clinic at 206-629-2186.